Okay, today's daf is Yevamos daf Gimel. As Baruch Hashem, we had a haschala yesterday into the new Seder, into the new Masechta. Keep in mind that anyone who wants to take part in sponsorships for a daf, for a day, for a week, feel free to contact the OU and see the information online. We'd love for everybody to take part, and any occasion would be announced on the day of the sponsorship. So feel free, everybody who wants to take part, be in contact with the OU. Okay, we are on Beis Amabeis, the Gemara. So yesterday we started off the Masechta with a list of the 15 Arayos that could be married to someone's paternal brother, even though they cannot be married to him. And the halacha is, if any of those women fall to Yibam, to this one brother, so all the women, all the co-wives, are also Peturos, and as the Mishnah said, the co-wives' co-wives, which means, we didn't explicate this yesterday, I just wanted to make this point today, that if there are three brothers, let's say Reuven's daughter is married to Shimon, so if there are three brothers, so then Levi still has that Zika. The only tour of the Erva and the Tsaros. And the Tsaros is for the brother that starts off having that Erva to him. Like Reuven, because it's Reuven's daughter that falls. But how do you get a Tsaros Sara? Because Levi's not related to any of them. And therefore, he's able to do Yibam with a Tsara of the Erva, or with the Erva, but he picked the Tsara of the Erva. And once that Tsara dies, so his other wives also would be able to be considered saros, and not be zakuk to yibum with the first brother. Okay, that's just help clarify yesterday's Mishnah. And the Mishnah said that if any of these relationships end before Shimon dies, so then there is no concept of this saros erva either, because you go by at the moment that the brother died. That's the key time to determine whether their co-wives are considered co-wives of an erva. If there's no longer an erva in the marriage, meaning if the daughter, Reuven's daughter, had died, had predeceased Shimon, so then there's not going to be the whole concept of saros erva. That is a predeceased. There are differences in terms of the cases the Mishnah gave, whether there's divorce, whether there's mi'un, nimsa ilanis, cases that we'll, Baruch Hashem, have to get back to. And then the last line was, kol hayechola lama'ein, anyone who could have done mi'un and didn't, so we say, sarasa choletzes lo misyabemes. Basically, that what that means to say is that if there is a marriage dirabanan, yechola lama'ein velo mi'ein, there is a marriage dirabanan because the Rabbanan allowed this marriage to take place, right? This is all, I mentioned yesterday, the topic of the 13th parak of Yevamos. Mi'un is the topic of Parak Beis Shammai, right? Which is right after the 12th parak, which is all about Chalitza. Daf Kuv Zayin is where the discussion of Mi'un starts. So, if there is a marriage midrabanan, so then we say that Chalitza needs to be done. Because on a Daraisa level, really, Yibam should be done. Because they're not married Mida Araisa, and they aren't Saras Erva. But because there is a rabbinic marriage, so we say, no, don't step on the toes of the Daraisa, acknowledge it a little bit, and therefore just require Chalitza. So says the Gemara now, Michti. Kulhu me'achos isha yalfinan. List ni'achos isha bereisha. As we will see, Be'ez Hashem, today on Amud Beis, what is the source for the concept of Saras Erva? What is the concept? The concept that the brother cannot marry an erva, so that's an iser d'oraisa of eishes ach. And the chiddush of yibam only removes it if that's the only iser. So you don't need a separate source to say that all of these are aser. Right? Unless you say that you should say asi dochalos asei. But then you say, what do you mean? But there's an iser karis. You don't say asi dochalos asei by alos asei sheish bo karis. So one doesn't really have to find a source to say that the is the concept of erva would pater from the Zika to Yibam. The question is, what about the Tsaras Erva? So the Gemara on Gimel Amud Beis is going to bring a couple of sources for that. So the Gemara here asks that the source is going to be from Achos Isha, wife's sister. So why isn't that one on the list first? We have the list of the 15 relationships that are possible, starting with daughter, granddaughter, all the different permutations. So why didn't we say the source first? Listen, Achos Isha Bereisha. That's the question. The Tosfos Yerushalmi here does point out that elsewhere the Gemara says that whenever you have a list of items, derech minyan, it's lav dafka that there is a specific order meant by it. You don't say, ein muktam amuchar b'Torah, if you're listing off just a number of items. Ein mukdam meucher might be in terms of different halachos. Why do you put this halacha before that halacha? But if you're having a list, says the Tosfos Yishon and Bekasha, Arminim with Perek Dal and Miso, since Sanhedrin, Kol makom sheshanu chachamim derech minyan, ein mukdam meucher. And therefore, what's the whole question? What does it really matter? If this is just a list. And then he says, is the betartzi, it could be that the Gemara doesn't mean a general rule, that whenever there's a list, there's the ein muktam u'uchar. The Gemara means there's no muktam u'uchar where there is one action that is demanded. Meaning there's one action that, you can do, and you could do it, let's say, with seven ingredients. So that's what we say, ein muktam u'me'uchar. But if there is a list of halachos, even in a list, like we said, maybe you would say muktam u'me'uchar. Either way, he gives a couple of suggestions how to have these two Gemaras live together, the Gemara in Sanhedrin and the Gemara here. But either way, back to our question, why is it achos isha first? V'chi tema tana chumrei nakat. And if you want to say, well, we went in stringency order. What's stringency order? V'Reb Shimon hi, damar sreifa chamura. We know there's a machlokas tanoim about the order of Mises Bezdin. Which are more chamur, which are less chamur? So we paskin skila sreifa herachanik. We paskin that order. Skila is the most chamur, and then sreifa, and then herag, and then chanik. Reb Shimon says otherwise. Reb Shimon says sreifa skila. Those are the first two. Sreifa is more chamur. So that's a little challenging. What's that machlokas about? What is a machlokas? Lomaisa, which one is more painful? You know, it's very difficult to suggest that's the machlokas. That must be something else, a Sanhedrin topic, but it's an important machlokas to think about. But maybe that's what's going on here, says the Gemara. Maybe the Mishnah is listing off the most stringent arayos first. So it lists off the chayve sreifa, right? The one who chayve sreifa, and that's why it says achos isha first. So, if it's Reb Shimon, Damar Sreifa Chamura, so Ihachi, Liste Chamosa Bereisha. So then, Se Chamosa, mother-in-law. Why? To Iker Sreifa Bachamosa Ksiva, because that's really the source for Sreifa, right? We know the middle of Masechah Sanhedrin talks all about every makar for every one of the Chayim Mises Bezdin. Right, that's Perek Dalam Misos, as we just mentioned in the Tosfos Yishanim. So once you're doing it in order, so say Chamoso first, the Ode, and also Basar Chamoso Lisni Kalaso to Basar Sreifa Skila Chamura. The last one, number 15 in the Mishnah, is daughter-in-law Kalaso. So why don't you say that next, because that's Skila, and that is more chamer than the other two of Herig and Chenek. So the Gemara says, so why is the order what it is? So Ella Bito says the Gemara, why did the Mishnah start off with daughter? Kivan da'asya midrasha chavivalei. Because daughter, the Isser of daughter, as we will see, is not so explicit in the Torah. So we wanna, that's beloved to us. Whenever we get a halacha from midrashas chazal, it's a din d'oraisa. But whenever we get halacha, it's more beloved to Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi to write that first. Why? Because remember, this is the first Torah Shebaal Peh that is being organized and consolidated and put into a unit. Yes, there might have been certain other texts available earlier in terms of Pirkei Zohar Eliezer, certain to other Midrashim, but this is the first, most famous, obviously. Eis Lasos Lashem Efeiru Torah Secher, Yehuda Hanasi wrote it all together. So he, in a hinting way, put the Torah Shebaal Peh elements first, even as he wrote down Torah Shebaal Peh and made it into Torah Shebechsav. Maybe he wanted, this is just a little svara for this line, maybe he wanted to keep a little Torah Shebaal Peh element in the writing of the Torah Shebechsav. And that's why he put the Torah Shebaal Peh elements first. Aydi dasi midrasha chavivalei. Since it comes from midrasha, so it's beloved to him, because after all, this is Torah Shebaal Peh. And therefore, it is put first. The Sharm Siyana Balachi here notes, maybe it also connects to the idea that people always love chidushim. People always love new items, exciting items, new and exciting. Right? Same old, you know, it's not as, we don't get as much into it. But if it's exciting, it's new, we feel like every day is opening day. So then that is something that is always exciting, and maybe that's chavivale, it's chaviv, because it is a first. He quotes from the Yad Malachi, "Dinakan chaviva v'lo nakan chashiva." Why does it say it's chaviv and not chashuv, which sounds more objectively important? Chaviv is beloved. Mishum de davar shah adam motzi behekish sichlo v'chakira so. Something that a person himself comes up with. This isn't just something new, but there's another element he's adding now. What if I came up with it? If I came up with it, that's more beloved to me. Chaviv lo harbe v'samach alav u'mischabid bo yoser mimasha nimser lo min ha-kabbalah. If I'm given something, if I'm told something, okay, I have to deal with it. But if I make it up, if it's my baby, if it's my project, so it's much more beloved to me. That's why. So number one, it's new and exciting, and number two, it's original and it's the creativity of the Rabbanan. So that's why it is mentioned. I think we mentioned in the past Rav Kook's comment in Ein Aya in Brachas, in the story that in the fourth parak of Rabbi Yoshua and Rabbi Gamliel, and they deposed Rabbi Gamliel, and there, at the beginning of the story, after the Homachlokas, Chilas Arvus Rishus, Chilas Arvus Achova, they say, let's wait for all the other rabbis, come into the base manager, and we'll have a vote. So what are all the other rabbis called in that Gemara? Chav Zayin? Bali Tresen. The bearers of the shields. And the Mefarshim explain, because, you know, Machatos Shel Torah. So that's why they're called soldiers. But ask Rav Kook, why are they called the shield bearers? They should be called the shield. You don't fight with a shield, you fight with a sword. Right, you fight with some active kli. This is more of a defense kli. So why are they called the Bali Tresen? So says Rav Kook, because in Melchamtos Shel Torah, the point isn't to attack the other person. It's not to try to bring them down. It's to defend your own point, because you came up with your own point, like we're saying here. So I want to defend my own point. So if once I defend my, that's why they're called the Bali Tresen. The shield bearers, because that's the ultimate goal of Melchamtos Shel Torah. Not to attack, but to defend, and in that way come to the emes. That has to do with this idea that when I come up with it, then I want to defend it, because it's very beloved to me. This not only applies in Torah, right? It applies obviously to hear something new in the world, right? Current events, right? We're all drawn to the news, right? Why is it called news? Because it's new, right? That's the, hence the title of the name. But if you look at this amazing Truma Sadeshin, I mentioned this a long time ago. The Truma Sadeshin in Simon Samach Aleph has a tshuva. Remember, most assume that he wrote a sefer in the structure of Shilas v'Tshuvas, right? He wasn't actually asked these questions. But it seems like these were very common occurrences. Almost every tshuva of the Chassam Sofer is quoted in Shulchan Aruch. I mean, it's very, very popular in terms of the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah quoting certain contemporary Svarim right around their time. So almost every Truma Sadeshin, not everyone, but many of them, at least part of them, are quoted in Shulchan Aruch. As is this one. Truma Sadeshin quotes in Siman Samach Aleph. What should you say about those people who gather after shul every Shabbos day and they stay and schmooze and they talk about current events and they are doing this on Shabbos? And it's not really talking about Shabbos. Is this a violation of a Dabar Davar? Is this something that we should stop? Says the Truma Sadeshin. Mashinogim rov b'nei Adam. Af ha-medakte gibim ha-seyim. Even those who are medaktek. Lehis asif b'yom ha-shabbos. Acher yitzim b'yis ha-knesses. After they leave shul. And they shmooze. Does not say they did this during Haftarah. Right? It says that they did this after shul. Ulesaper shmuos. Me'inyonei melachim v'sarim. They talk politics. Me'inyonei melachim v'sarim. Ve'erech melchamos v'ki agavna. Yesh chashash iser b'davar olo. Right? Is that an iser of violating Shabbos? Yira d'sorach l'daktik b'davar. It's a tough question. The Tosfos and the Rosh talk about Asur l'harbo sicha b'teila b'Shabbos, and the Yerushalmi says b'koshi yitziru she'el shalom b'Shabbos. We'd be saying hello, right? There's b'dochik they did it. Amnam, but says the Shuma Sadeshen, people enjoy it. People enjoy talking about chadashot, right? I did Asher Midrasha Chavivalei. Right, because it's something new. It says Amnam im osam bnei adam misangim b'kach kishemedabrim umesaprim shmuos miyamalachim v'sarim umechamoseihem. It's not lashon hara, but my friend, I'm talking. It's about public figures talking about what happened in the news. B'ki agavna keder harb bnei adam shemisavim l'kach nira devadei shari. It's mutter. Why? Because we find other activities that people are involved in. If they enjoy it, it's mutter. The Kiyah Gavne quotes the smak, which is also quoted in Shulchan Aruch. Bachurim hamis angim bekfisasam. The young men who like to power walk on Shabbos. Again, it's the poskim say, if it's clear that I'm doing exercise, and if I'm not wearing Levush Shabbos, that's a violation. But if I'm wearing Levush Shabbos, and I'm going for a power walk, because it makes me feel good, I want to do exercise, and I enjoy it, it's okay, it's mutter. V'chein liros kol davar shemis angim bo liros. What if I want to go see something enjoyable? so in nature, or so it's mutter. Again, as long as it doesn't take away from the sanctity of Shabbos in some way, which certain, obviously, situations might. And so then he says at the end, I'll say this is mutter, meaning schmoozing at the Shabbos table about various things in the world going on. So if somebody enjoys that, fine. If somebody does not enjoy it, if somebody feels that this takes away from their Shabbos meal, so then maybe it shouldn't be done. Again, I'm not just bringing up the issue now. But then he says at the end, Amnam ra'isi harbi pa'amim, shemiksas me'osim b'nei adam, ha'misasvim. It doesn't say that he did it. It says that he knew about it. And then he says, but I've seen a lot of people that gather in those groups, l'saper shmos halalu, eina mis'an gimberi b'shmos halal. They don't want to be there. You know why they do it? Peer pressure. They're just there because everybody's doing it. If I'm not here, so then what are people going to think about me? But I don't enjoy it. Elisha osim came l'ratzon chavirehem haneesafim imahim b'ki agavna nir d'chiyesh chash iser la'osan shein misangim. So it's a problem for those who don't enjoy it. Only for those who enjoy it. So that's chidushim. Chidushim and chadashos. That's what we get. Aydi d'asi midrasha chaviv alei. Good. So says the Gemara, and we'll get back to where the source is, Be'ez Hashem, soon, and we'll quote the Rambam. The Gemara continues. What do you mean? Kulu nami midrasha asu. What do you mean? They all, the patur of Yibum, from all of these arayos and tzoras arayos, right? They all come from midrashas chazal. None of them are really mefurish in the Torah. Answer. Nehi de'le'inyan Yibum asi midrasha ikar isu rayu behed yaksiv behu. By all of these Isurim, almost all of them, they're beferish in the Torah that they're Asur, and Achremos Kedoshim. Those Isurim are Asur. The Ptur of Yibum for the Tsaros, so then that is not explicit. So you're right, those are all Joshua's. But Bito, even the, it never says anywhere in the Torah that a man is allowed to have a relationship with his daughter. Right? That's learned out from Midrasha. So even the Isur itself is Asi Midrasha. So therefore, says the Gemara, that's what makes it different. Bito ikar isurayim midrasha. Dama Rava, Amar li Rav Yitzchak bar Avdimi, as yehena hena, as yezima zima. Right, it's learned out from a double gzeirah shava. Right, Rashi quotes the mechanics. What exactly is, how is this gzeirah shava working? We learn it from a daughter from a marriage and daughter not from a marriage. And then we learn the chai v'misa from another gzeirah shava. Right, it's a double gzeirah shava. But either way, it's nowhere mafurish in the text. And that's why, that's the one that comes first, because I did the Ashi Midrasha cha vivale. The Rambam picks up on this also. This idea of the Bito being not mafurish. The Rambam does not talk about this in Isurei Bia, not in our context, but he talks about it in the first halacha of Hilchas Tumas Meis. Why does the Rambam talk about it there? Because the Rambam there puts together three halachos that are not mafurish in the Torah, but they're learned out from logic. From logic, says the Rambam. We know there a meis can be metame a person in three ways: touching, carrying, or ohel. Maga masa ohel, and even an ohel is broken up in three ways, right? The mace is on top of a person is on top of the mace, or they share, they're under the same roof. So that's basics of ABCs, tumas mace. Hamace betam, that's what the Rambam, the first set of halachas in Sefer Tara is tumas mace, because that is the most extreme, that's the deepest and root of all tumas, aviavos. So you start off with with tumas mace. Right after that, what comes? Paraduma. Because that's how you get out of Tumas Meis. It's to keep the order. What's after that? The next most Chamur Tumah, and that is, he calls it Sefer Tara, not Sefer Tumah. It's important. But the next one, that's the after Tumas Meis of Araduma, Tsaras. Because that's also Metame Ba'ohel. Right? That's the next Chamur. After Tumas Tsaras, what's the next most Chamur? Tumas Mishkav Moshav. Because they also, as we mentioned a couple of days ago, they create an Av. An Av becomes an Av. So that's how we remember. That's not magical. The Rambam came up with 14 books, and in each of the books he has a set of halachas. There's a logic to every set of halacha. Why is one before the other one? So in Tara, you have the most Chamer, Tumas Meis, Paraduma, Tsara'as, Metame Mishkav Moshav. And then you have Shar Avos HaTumos. Right, the rest of the Avos HaTumos, if from the Kalim Perek Aleph, where you do go down one level. And then what's left? You have Tumas Ochlin, which is less extreme, and Kalim and Mikvos. Those are like the miscellaneous ones that fit in at the end. But that's it. Those are that Sefer Tara. So the first halacha in Sefer Tara, in Ochlos Tumas Meis, the Rambam says, HaMeis Mitame B'maga U'B'masa U'B'Ohel Tumas Shiva V'Tumas Maga V'Ohel Mifurashin Matora. touching and oil. As before, it's a pasuk in Chumash, Parshas Chukas. Shneemar hanogea b'meis lechol nefesh adam v'tamei shavas yamim. V'neemar kol abal la'oev v'chol hashebo yitva shavas yamim. What about tumas masa? Meaning, if I'm not carrying a mace, if I'm not touching the mace when I carry the mace, I'm just carrying it. It's on like something else. How do I know that's matame me? Doesn't say in Chumash. Tumas masa mi pi hashmua v'kal v'chomer advarim. It's mi pi hashmua and kal v'chomer. It doesn't just say kal v'chomer, which we'll get back to in a second. It says mi pi hashmua v'kal v'chomer. What does that mean? Im nevela shi tumas erev ve'ena matame ba'oel. A piece of nevela. An animal died. Right, an animal died, and it was not shechted. So it's tumas nevela. So if there's a piece of nevela that, if I touch it, it makes me tummy for a day. It's tumas erev, but it's not mitami ba'ohel. So nevela is mitami me for a day, and it's not mitami ba'ohel. Mitama b'masa, it is mitami b'masa though. Shenemar v'anoseyas nevlasam, that's beferish. Hameis l'koshekein, so surely a mace, which is mitami me for a week. Right, so surely that should be, and it's mitami b'maga, and it's, Mitami ba'oel surely should be mitami masa, and then he adds, "Uman nevela shemaga tumas erev masa tumas erev af meis shemago tumas shiva masa tumas shiva." So it's basically a kal v'chomer from nevela. Then the Rambam adds, "Ein tumas masa b'meis midivrei sofrim ela din Torah." It's a din to araisa. Don't think that this is divrei sofrim to rabbanan. It's a din to araisa. And then he has the key line for us: "V'yirali." Rambam's, whenever the yirali is used, our ears always perk up. Because the Rambam now is saying something without a source. He's saying this based on his own conviction. The Yirali. Shezeh sheshasak mimena hakasuv. Why did the Torah not say it? Why did the Torah not say masa? Right? Says the Rambam, it did say masa. Why? It's implicit. Kiderech sheshasak me isur habas. There it is. Just like the Torah does not say it's usur for a man to have a relationship with his daughter. It only says granddaughter. Why? Lefisha usur beferish afilu basabas. So if it says daughter's daughter, so then bas, it's as if it is explicit. It's not just the kal v'chomer, like he said earlier. If granddaughter, surely daughter. The Rambam says, uses the lashon, that it's as if it said it beferish. V'shasak me isur achilas basur b'chalav. Third context. Right, we have tumas masa, we have isur bas, and basur b'chalav. Those are the three. It doesn't say anywhere in the Torah, you're not allowed to eat basur b'chalav. It says three times, I can't cook basar b'chalav. Lefisha asar b'feirish afilu bishulo. I can't even cook it. Kach shasak hakasav b'tumas masa b'meis. Lefisha tami b'feirish afilu ahalo kol shekein maso. So it's a balance. The Rambam keeps saying kol shekein kal v'chomer, but he's saying something deeper. That's what the Kesef Mishnah here is bothered by. If it's a kal v'chomer, really, ain't onshin min adin. Ein masir min adin, you can't be, give an onish purely based on a kal v'chomer. So his answer is, it's not really a kal v'chomer. It's not fully only a kal v'chomer. Rather, he gives two answers. Number one, me'acher shebas habas ina asura ela machmas habas shehi ima memela mashma she asura ve'en kanon shemin adin. He uses the logic of kal v'chomer a little bit, but what he really means to say, says the Kesef Mishnah, is that because it's beferish bas habas, so step two is asur, step one is also asur. Number one. Number two, and then he quotes the second reason, I nami demashma shelo asra Torah lavashel ela kedei shelo yavo leecho. At least in the case of Basar B'chalav. We assume that the whole reason of Basar B'chalav, you're not allowed to cook it, is because you might come to eat it. This is one of the classic examples of Siag Daraisa. Offense law on the Daraisa level. You can't cook it because you might come to eat it. Which is a huge chiddush. Because if you take a step back, well, we mentioned this before, we didn't emphasize this point. But when you take a step back, Lo darshin and time into krah. We don't darshin reasons for mitzvos. The Torah says it's asr, it's asr. So we could darshin ta'amim, right? We pass in like Rebbe Bachal Yashuvim and Behuda, we pass in lo darshin and time into krah. Unless the reason is mefurish b'krah. Like, losakwa begat al, in the kind of losakwa, like the case of not marrying too many wives for a king. It's mefurish, therefore we would darshin the reason. But here, so it seems like this isn't just a time into krah. This is how Chazal understood the mahus of the isr. Right, the mahus of the isser is, it's not a tam, it's a mahus. It's the nature of the isser is, it's all about not eating. And therefore, cooking is about not eating. It's not just a reason for the mitzvah. That's how you have to understand the Kesef Mishnah. If you assume, lo darshin and time of the krah. Either way, this is a very important Rambam. beginning of Tumas Meis, relating to our Gemara, where our Gemara says the Isra of Bas is not Mefurish in the Torah anywhere, but it is Bas HaBas, but that is why it is first on the list here in the beginning of Yevamos, because it is Chavivale, the fact that it is comes out from a Drushas Chazal. Says the Gemara. Right? Does that relate to also possibly Lo Bashamayimi? Not exactly, but it could be related. Lo Bashamayimi meaning the Rabbanon's power of authority is even greater than even if a heavenly voice would tell us what to do. Right? It's Asi Midrasha. We came up with it. So that's Chaviv than even the... It's not Chaviv and Torah Shebechsav. It's Torah Shebechsav. We're not knocking, but it could be related to that sugya as well. So it says the Gemara now on the fifth line. Hasha ta amrit kol milsa dasi midrasha chaviv alei. So once we say that, then everything that comes from midrasha is chaviv. Listni la'achos isha labasof. So put the one that's mamish mefurish last. Achos isha is the source for tsaras erva. So put that last. Says the Gemara. Meaning all the other tsaras limud of the isra tsaras comes from midrasha. Bas is the most extreme because even the isra itself comes from midrasha. But all the other tsaras come from midrasha, so why don't you put Achos Isha last? So says the Gemara, no. There are clusters in the group. Aidi da'iri be'isser achvasa. Once we're talking about sisters, ton Achos Isha. Right? Once we're talking about sisters, we put all sisters together. Meaning we put all daughters together at the beginning, right? We say Bito, because that's the one that's totally not there. And then we say Bas Bito, Bas Bano, Bas Ishto, Bas Bano, Bas Bito. We put all of those together. Right? And then, once we talk about, a little bit later, we talk about, what, and the Gemara's gonna say, once we're going down, then we're gonna go up, in terms of mother-in-law, because that's also an example of daughter, because the wife and the mother-in-law are really daughter. Chamosoim, chamosoim, chamav. And after all the daughter/mother relationships, we get into achosos. And once we get into achosos, we mention all the achosos. That's what the Gemara says here. Felicity lahai baba lobasop. Why don't you put all the sisters last? Ella, the Gemara then says, clarifies a little bit more, Tana curve curve nakat. It goes through relatives, groups of relatives, blood relatives. Tana bito, ubas bino, de krove atzmo. It goes by his own blood relatives. The idea that Tana shlosha doros lamata di day, Tana nami shlosha doros lamata di da. It lists three generations down from him. So then, three generations down from her, v'yadi tana shlosha doros lamata dida, tana shlosha doros lamala dida, and then we go up by her. We go down by him, then we go down by her, and then we go going down by her. So we're going up by her, and then v'tana achoso v'achos imo dekrove atzmo. So that's all daughters' issues and mothers' issues. So now we're up to sisters. So we mentioned first his own achoso, right? The sister of the yavam. And once we mention sisters, we mention all sisters. Are achos imo de krove atzmo by the tana beisur achva tana achos ishto ubedinu de liktame la kalaso mikame eishes achav shlohay balamo. You're right. 14 and 15 should have been switched. The last two in the Mishnah should have said daughter-in-law before brother's wife that he never had lived with in the time period of the brother. You're right. De lo mishum kurva hu da asira, because daughter-in-law is not related at all to the man or to his wife. Ella aidi da ayri be iser achva tana ishes achiv shlo haya balamo. But once we're talking about blood relatives, so we say the case of ishes achshlo haya balamo at that point. Remember, that's the case where Reuven and Shimon dies, and then Levi is born. Meaning his brother is born after the zika to the Ibam kicks in. So as Rashi explained on yesterday's daf, the iser of ishes ach is there even posthumously, but the mitzvah of Yibam is not. And therefore, it can't, there's no mitzvah of Yibam that is able to be performed. Right? We'll talk more about that in the second parak, called Ketzad Eishas Achav Shalai Ba'olama. Says the Gemara, Vahadr Tani Kalaso. So then it says Kalaso, daughter-in-law, afterwards, which is not related, no blood relatives. Okay. Next. So that was in terms of the order. That's part one of today's daf. Part two of today's daf. What about the language of the Mishnah? First we spoke about the order of the Mishnah. Now we're getting into the language of the Mishnah. Umay arya tana potros. Why does the Mishnah use the language of if you have an erva that paters, that exempts the tsara from also doing the yibam or chalitza? Listen, asur osros. It's not only pater, it's usur. Let's say one of the co-wives want to do yibam. They're not allowed to. It's an isser. So why don't you use that stronger lashon, osros? So says the Gemara, itana osros. No, if it would have said osros, hava amina, osr liyabe mavo mechlitz chaltza. I would have thought, osr, what's osr to do? Yibam. You can't do yibam. But what if they want to do chalitza? What if chalitza is done? So then they will be able to. Right? I would have thought, that's osr. You look in the fifth medium line in Rashi. Hava amina, osros, liyibam, vechalitza lo mishtama meacha. I wouldn't have known chalitza. She'ein iser b'chalitza. What's the iser? V'hava mina mechlis chaltzi al karcho. I would have thought that even if he doesn't want to, you don't do that. She'ein eishes achmei abalo banim nefteres below chalitza. I might have interpreted it to meaning. What do you mean? Why would you do chalitza? The answer is I would have thought you have to do chalitza. The iser on the tsaros is only yibam, but maybe chalitza would have to be done. That's what I thought. Because since when does a yavama situation leave without anything? The Erva, fine. But the Tsaras Erva. Who says that they would leave without anything? So maybe the Makar is only Pater from Yibam. The Us Isser would have only been Fayibam and not by Chalitza. Kamash Mulan. The Ritva here points out that it's an unusual Havamina because in a couple of lines, the Mishnah is going to say it explicitly. Mina Chalitza. So a little challenging but we're focusing on that one word. Right? If you would have just said Osros, I might have limited it to Yibam. And not to chalitza, kamash malan, that even chalitza is included, and that's why you get that from Potros. V'lisni asur lachlots, so why don't you just say beferish? Say osros, and say beferish. Osros for yibim or chalitza. So there won't be any confusion. Simara says, my coven, why would you say it's asur to do chalitza? What's the big deal? So you would do chalitza. The point is you don't have to do chalitza. But the language of asur to be cholitz would mean like it's a bad thing to do chalitza. What would be so negative? So says the Gemara. What do you mean? Alam alo. There is a negative. Why? Imata omer choletzes misyabemes. Because if you allow chalitza, then people are going to think that this is a regular zika of yibam, which would also allow yibam. And therefore, you can't allow chalitza because people might come to do yibam. And if it's a tsaras erev, it's a din daraisa, that yibam cannot be done. So that's why we're back to the question. Why don't you say it beferish? That it's asur to chalitza yibam. The Gemara just said parenthetically, what would be the issur? The answer is it will cause problems if we would allow chalitza. So why doesn't the Gemara Mishnah just say beferish? It's asur to do yibam and chalitza. With an asur asur, right, that would be a result. There would be a kohen hedyu, that's only an issur derabanan. Isser grusha l'kohen is a din daraisa. Chalutza l'edu is derabanan. So you want to say the Mishnah, I think, is talking on a daraisa level for now. On a daraisa level. So says the Gemara, right, that also, we could have mentioned that in the introduction, that a chalutza becomes usher to a kohen midirabanan. Grusha daraisa, it's paralleled after gerushin. Again, that's one of the also lumdish questions. How much is there a parallel between chalutza and gerushin? Throw in miyun also on a drabbana level. All those three have to be discussed. Back to the Gemara. The Gemara now says, no, this is why the Gemara uses the lashon that it uses. For the following reason, that it's not a blanket halacha. Kivan b'maka mitzvah hu da'asi retzara. V'shalo b'maka mitzvah sharya b'kamacham tani potros. You know why the Mishnah doesn't say, tsaris erva is usher? No, it doesn't say that. Because let's say, somebody is, Reuven's daughter is married to Stama person, not his brother. Reuven's daughter gets married, mazel tov. And that person, Zvulun, that person has three wives. That's three wives. And then Zvulun dies. Is Reuven allowed to marry any co-wife of Zvulun? They can't marry his daughter. But what about any other co-wife that Zvulun had? He can marry them. There's no Isser there. The whole idea of Tzaras Erev is only b'maka mitzvah. When there's a yibam situation, his brother married his daughter and a couple of wives, that's when we say this halacha of Tzaras Erev is usur. But let's say it's shalom b'maka mitzvah. This is a stranger. Stranger that married one of the Erevas of this Yavam. So he would be able to marry. So that's why if the Mishnah said usur for Tzaras Erev, we would get the misimpression that Tzaras Erev is always usur. So that's why it doesn't use that. It doesn't use that lashon. Good. Says the Gemara. Fine. So we understand why it says potros and not osros. But what about this next question? Why do you have to say then, in the second half of the line, they're pater from chalitza and yibum? Just say yibum. So the Gemara says, no. Again, you'd have the Hava Amina. Itana mina Yibam. If you say that part there from Yibam, Hava Amina Mechlatz Chalsa, Yivume not lo Yibam. We would say that the Tzara would have to do Chalitza not Yibam. Kamash Malan. You know why it says both? For the following Yisod that's going to come up many times. You see on the side, this is quoted five times in this Masechta. This Yisod. Kamash Malan, Kala Ola Yibam, Ola la Chalitza. V'chol she'ena Ola Yibam, Eina Ola la Chalitza. Whenever there's a Yibam, they always go together. You'll never have on a Da'oraisa level. On a Da'oraisa level, the Gemara says, you'll never have a Chiv of one without the other. Midrabanan, we already had an example. The last line of the Mishnah already gave us an example where you're going to do Chalitza, where you're not doing Yibam. So on a Darabanan level, you'll have it, in the case of Miyun. But on a Da'oraisa level, they always go together. They're counted as two separate mitzvahs, the Minyan mitzvahs, but whenever there's a chiyuv of Yibam, there's a chiyuv of Chalitza. Whenever there is no chiyuv of Yibam, there is no chiyuv of Chalitza. There are big discussions of this principle in Lamdis, and we will have to get to those as they come up. Just to mention one, and that is Rabbi Chanan. Rabbi Chanan does in Kovetz Ha'aris in Simin Hey Oz Beis and Gimel. He discusses a machlokes from yesterday's daf, which we didn't get into specifically, my focus between the Ramban and the Rashba, that discuss what happens if there's a technical problem with marrying one of the women. Does that create Eina Ola Libam, Eina Ola Chalitza? He says, Venira, Tahachdina Sheina Ola, we'll get to the exact case, but I'll mention it. Machlokas Ramban and the Rashba. What if somebody divorces their wife, Almanas, that they don't marry so-and-so? Somebody does not like, maybe somebody thinks that his wife is doing something with another man, but he wants to divorce her. I'll divorce you on condition that you never marry that guy. Okay, that's the way you're divorced. Vinisseis la'achiv. And then she goes and marries so-and-so's brother. She goes and marries so-and-so's brother. You should never marry Binyamin. Okay, fine. And then he goes to marry Binyamin's brother. And then Binyamin dies. So now she falls to Yibam to this person who she made a neder. And if she marries, then she's never divorced. And it's the whole problem. So does she have to do Chalitza in that case? Is that called Ola Liyibam? It's a technical problem why it's not Ola Liyibam. Right? Shaina Potera, so the Machlokes, Ramban and the Rashban, yesterday's daf, whether that paters the Tzara. Whether that paters the Tzara. So what's the lumdis behind that? Whether this is a real, is this a real call, Ein Ola Liyibam, Ein Ola Chalitza? Like, this is a technical problem that you have with this man. So that's what he discusses, the Chakira. Do you say it's Kol She'ein Ba Zikas Yibam, Ein Ba Zikas Chalitza? Is that what's, right, it's fundamental? Or, Lamaisa, Hei Chashish Ba Zika Gemura Gamla Yavam. What if there's a full Zika? Ella should befall out E'efshe L'kaima. Lamaisa, you can't do it, then Chalitza is also not done. Because you need the Lamaisa Bina B'shas Chalitza Teru'u Yalibam. Right, and there are other examples. So he says that's Gufa, what he thinks the Machlokas is, between the Ramban and the Rashba. Again, this is a very big topic. It comes up in many different contexts. We'll have to go through them as we go through the Masechta. The Rishonim bring in this principle even where the Gemara doesn't say it. Halacha l'maisa. Bizman hazeh, we don't, Ashkenazim, we'll get to this, Tad Hashem, soon. Ashkenazim do not do Yibam, we do Chalitza. Ashkenazim. What happens if someone do Chalitza? When is Chalitza done? Day 91. After the brother dies. Why do we do that? Why do we do day 91? Why? Because there's an Isser Drabanan of Havchana. We always need to have 3 months separation to know who the real, if let's say she's going to have a kid, 8 months later we want to know who, and she gets married right away, we want to know who the father is. Havchana. You only need Havchana for Yibam. You don't need Havchana for Chalitza. Chalitza, she's not marrying anybody anyway. She's Chalitza. So she's not becoming pregnant. So that's what the Rishonim say. Kol she'ena ona and the Gemara, based on the Gemara, kol she'ena ola liyibam, ena ola chalitza. If we're not going to allow yibam now on a derabbanan level, we're not going to allow chalitza yet, and that's why we wait. So again, we have this parallel in many contexts. One more line. Says the Gemara. Fine. You wanted to mention both to teach us this. Good. So why don't you say the opposite order? But listen, yibam umena chalitza, inami mena chalitza lechuda. So why do you mention chalitza first in the Mishnah? Right, and what is the Mishnah's lashon? Peltros sarasev nazem mina chalitza umina yibam. Right, we glossed over it yesterday. Why is chalitza first? Or just say chalitza? The Gemara answers, Abba Sholhi. Boom. to Omar, mitzvahs chalitza kodemus la mitzvahs yibam. Machlokes tanaim. Right? Which comes first? In the Torah, it sounds like yibam comes first. That's what it sounds like in the Torah. If he doesn't want to do yibam, then it's like, bam, we go chalutz hanal, and we, so that's the big discussion, but Abashol is the shita. We alluded to it yesterday, Daflamites. He's the shita that says chalitza wins if you have a choice. Why? Because his shita is if you don't do yibam for the right kavanas, then it's close to being an isser eishes ach. If you do it, let's say she's beautiful, and the guy really is not interested, but she's beautiful, so, or let's say she has a lot of money, she comes from money, whatever the case is. So says that Abashol, there's no mitzvah there. Right? This is a unique case relating to mitzvah srichas kavana, ain't srichas kavana, but it's a unique case. Unique case. So that is why Abishol. Who do we paskin like? Look in Shulchan Aruch. 2 days are quoted. The first day in Shulchan Aruch says, mitzvahs yibam kodim l'mitzvahs chalitza. V'yesh omrim? Right, the Ebenezer, the Shulchan Aruch quotes 2 days in Kuf Samachay. V'yesh omrim, chalitza comes first. Meaning, as the first day of the Shulchan Aruch quotes, yibam. And then yesh omrim like Abishol. It's a machlokas rishonim. Who do we paskin like? The Ramah quotes, Menach Ashkenaz, we do Chalitza. Boom. Finished. Nothing to talk about in the Ashkenazic world. But the Shulchan Aruch quotes that the first day up against Abishol. So we'll have to get back to that. Let's, I want to do a little more, and then hopefully we'll get back to the tshuva of Rav Avadya, the landmark tshuva about Yibam. So it says the Gemara continuing, second to last line. So far what do we do? We spoke about why the Mishnah has a certain order and why the Mishnah has a certain language. So now we get to the next line. Why does the Mishnah have to tell me the number so many times? Right? We could count. And also, the Mishnah said the number twice. Minyana de reisha lemutemai, minyana de seifa lemutemai. So why do we have the minyan? We could count. So the Gemara says it twice to exclude two cases which don't create saras erva. Lemute de rav u de rav asi. Rav and rav asi, a quarter later on, rav holds saras sota is also aser. What does that mean? Let's say, Reuben and Shimon again are brothers. Shimon has a wife who is a sota. Is a sota. She was an ishes isha zinsa. So he was going to divorce her. But before he got divorced her, he died. Right? So that isha sota was usher to Shimon. So that she's usher not only to Shimon, but she's usher to the other brothers also, as we'll see. So is saras sota? Is that also pater? Rav says yes. Our Mishnah is saying no. That's why he says the 15 and no more, excluding Sarasota. Or Ravasi is Saras Islandus. Also, a special limit we'll have later on is Usur, according to Ravasi, and the Mishnah is saying we don't pass it in that way. Islandus maybe is Usur, but not Saras Islandus. Good. Says the Gemara. L'Rav L'Ravasi L'Mutemai. So what about according to the two of them? What do they use the two numbers for? They have to exclude something else, because they include at least one. So, if they hold of each other, then you need two other exclusions for each of them. So, one excludes the tzara of a woman who does mi'un, right, whose marriage disappears. Saras mimaenes, right, Rashi explains the exact case. Harishaya l'achiv yisoma ketana. Right, the brother has a yisoma ketana of isha acheres who meisu mi'ana haktana biyavamzeh. V'ktana does mi'un after the brother died. I'm not interested. So is the tzara also aser? So that's what there's a shita out there that says yes, but the Mishnah is saying no. V'chad lemuti tzaras machzir grushaso. Also, the brother did an iser. He divorced his wife, married someone else, and then remarried that woman. Machzir grushaso. So all of these, are they in the world of our? How much are they in the world of arayos? That's the shiloh, which would then create the iser of tzaras erva. So according to Rav and Ravasi, so these two are being excluded from the Mishnah. In what way? So this is the machlokas Rashi and the Ramban. Rashi here says, in these cases, you need chalitza. That's the chiddush of the Mishnah. They're not included in the Mishnah. After all, you need chalitza. The Ramban says no. They're excluded, and therefore they're mutter. Period. Without anything, right? That would be the hutru legamre to do yavam. Even yibum would be allowed in this case. Okay, so says the Gemara, if Rav and Ravasi hold of each other, then yet you use these two exclusions. V'lo, svirlu la dahadadi, if not, so then they would say each other's one are excluded. Chad lemute tachavre, each one would exclude the other one's opinion. V'chad lemute, otzaras lema'enas, otzaras machzer grushaso. Either way. Good. L'Rav l'Ravasi, listening who? So, one second. So according to Rav and Ravasi, though, at least one of them should be included in the Mishnah. Why isn't Saras Islandis or Saras Sota included. Lefi She'ena Bit Saras Sara. Because, as Rashi explains, it can't say Saras Sara because you're never going to have that kind of case. Because this woman is ushered to all the brothers, not just to one brother. So you'll never have that case of Saras Saras. That's why he left it out of the Mishnah. Fine. End of that discussion. Now we get into what's the source, what was alluded to earlier in the daf. Mina hani mili. So what's the source for the Isra of Arayos, we know. It's a pasuk in Chumash, except for Bito. What's the source for Tsaras Erva also being Usr? So mina hani mili, ditna rabbanan, isha lachusa. Remember, achosish is the source. Isha lachusa lo sikach litsror legalos ervasa aleha bichayeha. So, says the Gemara, Aleha matam alomar. What is that word Aleha teaching me? Lefisha emar yavama yavo aleha. Oh, by Yibam it says, yavo aleha, same word. The yavam should be with her. Shomea ani afilu ba'achas b'kol arayas omores b'torah kaza medaber. I might think that Yibam even goes on to all arayos. Right? Maybe you would say, Asi dochalos asay, as the Gemara is going to say, Be'er Hashem, and then tomorrow's daf. So, namar kan aleha, namar lan aleha. No. It says aleha by the mitzvah of Yibum. It says aleha by the iser of achos isha. Ma lahalan b'makam mitzvah. Just like the iser of, but just like Yibum is b'makam mitzvah, afkan b'makam mitzvah. So too, we say that the iser of achos isha is also, even talking about a case of makam mitzvah, v'yam rachman alo tikach. And the Torah says, do not marry. Do not marry achos isha. And we say, even b'makam mitzvah. So that's the source for, you do not say, Asi dochalosa say in this context, you don't say Yibam pushes off in Isra of Erva. V'ein li elahi. Tzara semi nines, that's the source of Erva, Arayos. How do you know the concept of Tzara? Tamalomar litzror. That's an extra word in the pasuk, litzror. V'ein li elah tzarasa. Tzara sarasa minayin. Tamalomar litzror v'lo letzor. The extra resh. The extra resh is teaching me even tzaras tzara. There is a huge discussion in the Achronim about Rabbi Akiva's question right here. It alludes to what we said yesterday. And that is, why is Tsaras Tsara Usr? Because Tsara gets the status of Erva. So once Tsaras gets the status of Erva, it continues forever and ever. Because each Tsara becomes an Erva. So I say, ask Rabbi Akiva Eger, so what do you need a pasuk to tell me that? It's just Tsaras Erva. What do you need an extra pasuk to tell me? Tsaras Tsara. So all the Achronim, all the answers have in common, well, not exactly. Not exactly Erva. Or you might say, the pasuk is needed to be Megala to me this Chiddush. That Saras Erva is considered Erva, not just a separate independent Isser. So there are all different answers given, but that's Rabbi Akiva Eger's question that is dealt with on this line of the Gemara. V'ein li elachos isha. So everything we've said so far, the three sources, Erva, Saras Erva, Tsaras, Saras Erva, that's all by achos isha. Shar Arayos minayin, how do you know to expand it to all the other Arayos on the list, all the other 14? Amart, what we say, a comparison. Ma achos isha miyuchedashi erva. V'chayavan azdona kareis, v'al shigugas achatas v'asur liyavam. Achos isha is an erva, and there's a chiv kareis and chatas, and she's a surah to liyavam. Av kol shi erva, v'chayavan azdona kareis, v'al shigugas achatas v'asur liyavam. So to all, is an erva. Definition of an erva is kareis and chatas. Aser to the oven, so to all. V'ein li elahein tzaras eminayin. How do I know the tzaras of all the other arayos? Amart, same comparison. Ma achos isha miyuchedes, shehi erva. V'chayav an alvazdona kares al shekas achatas. V'yasur li oven. V'tzarasa asura. So af kol shi erva. V'chayav an alvazdona kares al shekas achatas. V'yasur li oven. Tzarasa asura. So we include it all. It's a binyan av, as it's called. We compare them. There's no reason not to extend it. Mikan amru, and that's what Chazal say. Mikan amru chachamim, chamesh esri nashim, potot soroseyan, v'tzora soroseyan, minachalit so minayivim, ad sof ha'olam. Period. Yochol, last section for today. Yochol shani marba af sheish arayos, chamuros me'elu, shiut soroseyan asuros. Maybe I should include the other six. What other six? Remember I said we mentioned there are 21 arayos. 15 of them are in the first Mishnah. 6 of them are usur to me and my paternal brother. So there's never going to be a way that my brother is going to be married to this woman. But maybe, says the Gemara, obviously that woman is usur to all the brothers. But maybe the tsaros are an usur to the other brothers. That's only to you. Right? So, says the So I'm sorry, the opposite. That the all these are arayos that apply to all of the brothers, and therefore there's no concept of tsaros being usser. Maybe the tsaros should also be included in this, even though there are arayos to all of them. The Gemara says no. Amar it as follows. Ma'achos ishto miyuchedah shi erva v'chayav anotan akoris v'shikas achatas v'ef sharli nasi la'achim. And it's possible, that's the added line we put into this one, it's possible for these women to be married to my brother. So too, any Erev, Tsaros are only ushered for someone who is possible to be married to my brother. Yatsu, Shesh, Arayos, Chamuros, Me'elu, excluding these six, which again, I mentioned, they were mentioned in the Mishnah, Daf Yud Gimel, Hold, the Efshar, Linasi, La'achim, Tsarosein, Mutaros, Shein, Tsara, Ela, Me'ach. Because it's only from the ach that creates it. Period. Asara shamanu onesh minai. This is all the asara heading of the onesh. Amar kra kikal asher yaseh mikol atoivos vegomer. Right, they will be punished. V'nichrisa. Okay, so this is all the order and the language and the source for our Mishnah. The Rambam, for some reason, in Hilchos Yibam, quotes different sources. That's a difficulty that the Achronim point out. Why doesn't the Rambam just quote the Pesukim from our Gemara? But the Rambam has his own sources. Mestama has a different Yerushalmi or a Medrash that he has his sources based on. Okay, we'll stop here. Bye. Time off.